Yeah, but how baked were you when you saw it?
Well, that just made the experience so much better. Like, like seriously, I was like, this is mind-blowing, man. The government's in on it.
Yeah, that's the Corey I remember.
It was like music and stuff at the end.
Well, all the lights in that movie, the alien ship, and oh my god, I can only imagine how fucked up you must have been watching that movie.
Oh, it's not even that. Like, it was mind-blowing, though. Like, even to this day when I watch it, like, I think that's such a cool concept to communicate with aliens, like colors and music and lights. Kind of a universal thing.
It reminds me of that game that we used to play as a kid. Shoot. What was the one where you had to touch it in sequence?
Simon,
yeah. That was a great toy.
It does remind of that.
Yes, anyway, but, I think that's some of Spielberg's best work.
Oh, yeah. Man, that's early Spielberg. That's where his Hall of Fame career was forged. Because you know, I'll run to the theater to see a movie that's 40 years old, yet I can't get to the theater to see all of the movies that I'm dying to see. Logan, X-Men, Spider-Man, Guardians, Wonder Woman. I struck out. I'm 0 for 5 on all those movies.
Well, I think if you don't go see Spider-Man,
I've already seen.
If you don't go see Spider-Man, I might have to disown you as a brother. Come on.
Well, it drops what, tomorrow?
Yeah, the 7th, yeah.
Friday? Yeah, Friday. So the day this pod drops is the day Spider-Man comes out. I will feel shame. I have felt lots of shame.
2 minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
Over the movies that I've not been able to go check out. That's a long list now.
I think, was it you guys that were mentioning that the Wonder Woman is the highest grossing DC movie so far?
Could I didn't be. Hear that. It wasn't me mentioning it, but I believe you.
I don't know if that, I don't know if that counts for Nolan's stuff, but I know with the I guess it's the rebooted universe or whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, it's part of the DC EU or the DC cinematic universe. Yeah, no, Wonder Woman is at $354 million plus another 363 foreign for a grand total of $718 million.
That's it. I think that's Batman versus Superman made it like high fives, maybe?
Let's find out.
High five.
Come on, Box Office Mojo. What do we got? Total domestic gross of $330 million. So yeah, it's past. Wonder Woman has passed the domestic gross of Batman v Superman. But it fetched $542 in foreign markets. So Wonder Woman is still about $160 million behind Batman v Superman.
Hmm.
It should probably get there.
Yeah, there's a lot of big stuff coming out, though, too. I'm so happy that The Mummy tanked. I know I told you guys that already, but...
Tom Cruise, apparently he took over that thing.
Yeah, and they had this whole plan. I don't know if you heard about this. I think it was called The Dark Universe. Where they're going to be doing, like, was The Mummy... I didn't get all the details, I guess, but, you know, like, all those characters, like The Mummy, maybe Dracula, Frankenstein. I'm not exactly sure, but... I know Johnny Depp was involved. A whole slew of like pretty popular characters. What's this guy's name? Javier Bardem was also in that photo shoot that I saw. And anyway, they were planning a whole bunch of movies based around this team, I guess. And I don't know if that's going to get flushed down the toilet now.
Hmm. All right, so Corey, what did you bring to the show today?
Absolutely nothing.
Don't say that, buddy. You brought yourself, which we thought might not happen.
That's true. Actually, I ran my ass off, so you better appreciate that, man. I haven't stopped all day since this morning. I finished work early and everything, like went out, had some chores to do, got back home, had dinner with my folks, went out for ice cream, got back home, had to go back to work.
Whoa. Went out for ice cream?
Yeah. Oh, it was just mom and dad. What do you want me to tell you?
Were you holding each of their hands too? Did the vanilla ice cream fall off the cone?
No, mine was delicious, man. It was chocolate dipped in a like a fleur de sel chocolate sauce. Like it was like salt flakes in it. God damn, shit was a real deal.
I love how you're like telling us the stresses and rigors of your day, and then you slip in had an ice cream.
I had to, man. Come on. Whatever, the kid, the grandparents, you know, don't really have a choice, I guess.
Yeah, I can see all the bruises on you there.
Yeah, anyway, nonstop running. Stupid IT guy, we had to, at work, I guess it was, what, Monday? I don't know, somehow, some kind of wire got pulled, like, from outside the building, and we had no internet, and I'm talking to the guy, my IT guy, before I have to call a technician from the actual company, but he's just like, yeah. Just did you unplug it? He's like, yeah, unplug it and everything's gonna be fine. I was like, ugh, how did I know that was coming? But anyway, that was a pain in the butt. And then again, we had a system cleaning today, whatever. And my boss ended up needing my laptop, and I had to leave work without it, and yada yada yada. I had to go back to work so I could be here with you two fools.
Well, that's, you know, it's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Commit.
Yeah, I would have to say that's some pretty serious commitment on my part. Even though I didn't bring anything to the table tonight, which I usually do have quite a bit of material for Sith Disturbers, but summer is upon us, and I don't know.
Hey, I get it, man. You got to make time to edit an episode. You're going to have to prepare yourself. We understand.
Yeah, I feel your plight, but we admire that you're focused on learning new skill sets. Yeah. Admirable.
Thanks, man.
Oh, man. James, do you have anything you want to bring to the table tonight?
I get a few things. Just because, you know, unlike Corey, I always bring something to the table.
However minimal.
Well, hey, minimal is better than zero.
I'll think of something. Don't worry.
No, I'm sure you will. And what you're bringing to the table is the answer to some of these questions. So, okay, here's question number one. I just got some questions that I thought would spark some different and interesting answers. The first one, since we're a Star Wars loosely based show, in 40 years from now, what do you think people will be nostalgic for? What's going on right now that's got the legs?
Harry Potter.
That's for sure top of my list too. Yeah, and for some of these, we'll come first up with the same ones right away. Like, and fidget spinners won't be there, so cross that off out of your mind.
Like Harry Potter's already starting to get there in a way. I think
it's already 20 years old.
Came, yeah, 20 years old. Not last week, I believe, or even this week. But
yeah, so that's almost like
that nostalgia thing.
That's it. 20 years from now, people that'll be the 40-year loop. But what's going on now? What's just starting off? What's in its infancy that you see being around?
The Marvel Cinematic Universe, maybe? Like, a lot of kids are growing up with that, kind of.
That's a good one. Yeah, especially...
I get the sense that that'll be rebooted time and time again. But yeah, that could very well be. Oh, man, that's a great question.
I'm trying to think of something super iconic. Will there ever be
these revivals of, like, Pokemon? Like 40 years from now, will we see 50-year-olds having Pikachu conventions?
Yeah, and is Paw Patrol the Caillou, the Sesame Street of you know, like, is that going to be kicking itself around for our grandkids? Like, or which of the current, you know, big TV crazes is actually going to be the one that this generation holds on to, you know? It's hard to look at sometimes. Some of the stuff's really crap.
Oh, yeah. I feel like there's just so much more now that it's yeah, there's more possibilities, but nothing sticks around too long.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Everything's short and sweet. Like, the HBO puts out so much good stuff. Like, Netflix. It's just so hard to keep up and consume it.
The Disney stuff will be around forever. And I'm not talking getting myself in trouble with Star Wars. I'm talking about actual Disney stuff. Like Anna and Elsa will be nostalgic characters for some kids for sure.
They are already full on Disney princesses.
Yeah.
It's game over. Those two are indoctrinated. It's they're going to be just like Snow White, Aurora, Cinderella. They're in.
Leia.
Full on Disney princess. Is that going to cost you money for saying?
She should be. I think there's a push for
that. No, don't turn it. No, don't do that. I mean, we're talking about princesses that like strut around the grounds at Walt Disney World.
Well, isn't that already happening with Princess Leia?
Not that I know of. I know there was a movement to get her, to make her become a princess at Disney. But come on.
I don't know. She is a princess.
She'll always be a princess to me too, Corey.
Yeah. You're going to throw a gown on her and make her strut around Walt Disney World with Ariel and Belle? Come on. She can carry a blaster around and call all these little kids nerf herders, then I guess we can talk. But if they're going to make her strut around in these stupid gowns and make her smile every minute of the day, pass.
Yeah, Leia's not a full-time smiler. Well, you know what, guys? We got a full range of listeners on this show, like from kids from listeners who are still basically kids themselves, all the way up to people with kids. So let's get a little input. What do people think will be the things of nostalgia? What's got the legs and the staying power? I'm curious because I don't really know.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something that's like Seinfeld is something that's. You know, but even now it's I think it aired 28 years ago, the first episode, and that was recently too.
Well, that was, the anniversary is today.
Oh, wow. Incredible, eh?
Now, 40 years from now, I think Seinfeld will be, I'm not going to say forgotten, but we'll be the ones that'll be nostalgic for it, and we'll be too old to give a shit.
It'll be Mary Tyler Moore. I remember growing up, everybody was like talking about that show. I was aware it existed, but I didn't really know what it was.
Like, where do you watch Happy Days and The Honeymooners now? Are those anywhere?
Deja vu. You can.
Yeah, deja vu.
But that's pretty niche, right?
Yeah, I had it for a bit, and it's hard to get away with, I guess. Like, man, Night Court was on that.
I feel like I don't want to mail in the question, but I don't know that there's anything going on right now because they keep rebooting stuff from when we were kids. I don't know if that's because of a lack of ideas.
That's true. Or if they just recycle like Transformers, Ninja Turtles, Joe.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Everything that was big when we were little is big again now. Like they did. I can't think of any franchises or properties that have come along in the last 20 years that can stand on its own, except for Harry Potter.
Jurassic Park.
That's not new.
Yeah,
though.
I guess. Yeah, that's over 20 years old.
Yeah.
Shit, next year will be the 25th anniversary of the first Jurassic Park.
There you go.
Yeah, it's insane.
That's a good one. Let's get some Twitter input, people. I'd love to hear what you think. And I got another one that's completely different and should throw us onto a completely different track. Okay, so what would be the best sport to have a mandatory amount of alcohol?
The best sport for a mandatory...
Which sport would be like, most improved with a mandatory amount of alcohol?
Are we creating a sport here, or is it a sport that already exists?
A sport that already exists. Which one would be better? And by the largest margin, which one would be better... the most improved by adding booze.
Is there a correct answer to this, or
I've thought of a few that to me would be fun for sure. Like I think certainly some sports get worse. For example, I don't think anybody wants to watch drunk boxing. Well, maybe for one round, But two guys yelling at each other and slobbering on each other and leaning into each other is probably less exciting about, like, than actual boxing.
Hammered? Well, are you talking hammered? Or are you
it has to affect them, right?
So you've had a few drinks, but you're not stumbling all over the place.
Yeah, somewhere between, feeling really good and belligerent. Somewhere in the middle.
Between happy guy and likes to fight guy.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, what benefits the most? I mean, I guess because the overall gameplay is going to be somehow better, or because it's going to be hilarious to watch?
More entertaining overall.
Can it be sports entertainment?
Sure, could be.
Yeah, let's say backyard wrestling. That can always go over really, really wrong.
I think there already is a mandatory amount of alcohol in backyard wrestling. But yeah, I see that.
Yeah, you just lose your inhibitions. Then you're just like, all right, let's do this. Throw me off the roof, man. Head up to that table.
I think the NBA would be quite a riot.
I don't think it definitely would be improving your game.
So many rolled ankles.
Oh, and so many balls in the face. Oh my God, that sounds so different than when I thought about saying it.
Bowling would be pretty funny.
You might hit the wrong lane.
You know, when you go, like when you sweep your right leg behind the left on your follow through, like you just might trip yourself up completely and sail down the lane with the ball.
I don't know if it's because I'm a golfer, but the PGA slipped to the top of my list just because it's such a hoity-toity sport, and to see the guys a little less stuffy.
Have a Happy Gilmore type.
Yeah, you know, have a guy lean on his putter and fall over, lining up a putt. couple guys with the giggles walking up the fairway.
Well, how funny would it be to see some guy who's completely blitzed and has spent the last 7 hours in the blazing Georgia sun?
That's why I wish I think I was born like 100 years too late, because you hear these tales of like the best golfers in the world showing up for majors, like the U.S. and Open Championships, like in their tuxedos from the night before, because they stayed up all night drinking and smoking cigars. Like, professional sports has changed too much. You just can't pull that off anymore.
Like, ignorance must have been bliss, man. Like, these guys had no idea how alcohol and like cigars were just ravaging their bodies.
I don't think they cared. Look up Walter Hagen. This guy was like a legend.
Well, John Daly, right? I don't know. Did he ever show up shit-faced to a tournament?
Oh, I'm sure he did. And he's been on and off the wagon through his career, but he definitely had his bouts where he was at, I don't know about PGA events, although I'm sure it's happened. I don't know enough about him, but I'm sure it's happened. But certainly like driving range events and you know, the public eye, he's been wasted a couple of times.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think bowling would be funny.
I'm trying darts, to think of sports. Yeah.
Darts would be fun.
Yeah, but I don't think this doesn't improve your skill at all. Like, and I'm trying to go in the direction where I'm trying to think of something where you lose all inhibition. It kind of gives you like liquid courage.
Like human cannonballing? Kind of like, it's not really a sport.
Yeah, so it's like something like that, though. Yeah, like rolling down a hill or whatever, you know, like. So I don't want to say driving.
I'll admit that I have watched darts on TV before. And you know, they have like the front shot of the guy who, and they're staring at that at the dartboard, and the screen is kind of split so you can see the concentration on their face and then where the dart lands. And so I'd love to see somebody's like shit face concentration look, with almost like one eye going one direction and the other eye going in the other, and the tongue hanging out of the side of their head, and they're focusing as hard as their drunk ass can, and they shoot the dart and it misses the board completely. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I'd watch that. I'd tune in. They'd have my viewership. What about like bicycle racing? Oh, and man. I'm talking about short track, like where they're really tight together.
Oh my God.
That just gets really, really dangerous.
Those guys are ripping, man.
That's more exciting, no?
Yes. The crashes are more epic than ever. The hammer toss or shot put,
Oh, geez, that's scary.
You see this guy just spin, blackout.
Already sometimes they throw it the wrong way.
Oh, I'm sure there's some, I'm sure people are listening now screaming. There's something really obvious. I mean, we could throw soccer, hockey, baseball, but I'm trying to go off the board because those are obvious picks.
Well, yeah, the big four, I mean, football, you know, big five, whatever you want to call them.
A bunch of drunk rugby guys.
So that actually might be conducive in the violent sense anyhow.
Yeah, that's league rugby. That would just be like the most bloody rugby match, professional rugby match of all time.
Like, I feel like you should take a couple of rugby teams, get them all liquored up, and then put them into like a war zone and just go, there's the enemy, go get them. And they'll just tear everything apart.
It sounds about
everybody's
right.
Ears off. Oh, no, I've got it. Synchronized swimming or diving.
belly flops all over the place. That'd be awesome.
You imagine like just the uncoordinated body movements as they fall through the air or tumble through the water. It'd be a shit show. It'd be amazing.
And most of them would be more entertaining because they would be less improved. I guess most improved would have to be, I'd have to put a caveat for most improved entertainment wise, because no sport's actually going to get better. You're not going to get better at any sport. What about, you want to see like an absolute terrifying sport is add getting drunk to downhill ski racing.
Oh boy.
Yeah, you're dead.
Someone's going to die, that's for sure.
Or coma.
Or coma. So matter of fact.
Slight improvement.
Or coma.
Oh, boy. Rhythmic dancing with those ribbons?
You mean rhythmic tangled? Rhythmic wrapped in a ribbon? Cursing?
I'm just picturing Will Ferrell in old school. Yeah, that's a great question. I would love to hear what other people think.
I was thinking about something last night related to Star Wars that I wanted to run by you guys. I kind of thought this was a bit genius. But you know Rose in The Last Jedi?
Rose Nylund?
I was about to say the same thing.
Thank you for being a friend.
They're rebooting that with three gay guys, I heard.
Four.
What an awesome idea.
Four retired gay guys.
Really?
Really, eh?
Are they calling it Golden Girls? Because I think they should. That would be terrific.
No, do we know what network it's going to be on?
I haven't heard. I just saw the headline and I was like, it's time. That's a great idea. What a great modern spin on a great show.
No, nothing on casting?
That'll
make it
headline.
For me. Like, the casting has to be pretty spot on.
No doubt.
I think that's got a chance to be absolutely hysterical.
It really could be.
It definitely has to be the slutty one.
All of them, but I think every one of those could be like a really funny rebooted character. Like homage, hopefully, not, you know, complete.
It's got potential.
Redo, but yeah. Yeah.
Do you think they'll ever reboot Cheers?
No.
Why not? I'm not advocating for it, but
maybe they could do something similar, but not Cheers itself.
Man, that was a good show.
Oh, yeah, for real. God, I love that show.
What's going on, Mr. Peterson? Let's talk about what's going in, Mr. Peterson.
Morning, everyone.
Hey.
Oh. What are you up to, Norm? My ideal weight if I were 11 feet tall.
Afternoon, everybody.
Hey.
What'd you like, Norm?
A reason to live. Keep them coming.
Afternoon, everybody.
I own seasons 1 and 2, man. So good. You know, it really didn't do well in the ratings, that show, when it first came out. But the critics
loved it. No, the first night it came out, it was dead last of all shows on TV on its pilot episode.
But the critics gave it rave reviews, and then that network stuck around. Plus, they owed the creators a favor from doing MASH and all that stuff, so...
Yeah, it's an all-time great show.
Oh, yeah.
Well, isn't Sam Malone based on Bill Lee?
I'm not sure. Made Abe Malone.
I think I've heard that. It makes sense.
Bill Spaceman Lee, Sam Mayday Malone.
Anyhow.
All right, what was the question again?
Yeah, I didn't get to it. Well, so basically, I just want to ask you guys what you thought about this in regards to Rose's character in The Last Jedi. You know how Finn needed a pilot in part one? What do you think about this kind of twist on her character? You know, we get the impression, I think, at this point that she's some kind of a mechanic within the Rebellion. But maybe she's a mechanic with an aspiration to fly, but she's just, maybe she hasn't been accepted to that level yet. And at a point in this film, like, you know, she's going to let her true colors shine in that sense, that she's going to be a pretty kick-ass pilot.
Possible.
I don't know, I was thinking about that last night, and it made a lot of sense to me.
It's totally possible. I guess I hadn't really thought about her character much. I guess, thinking about her now, I feel like she's just going to be a mechanic with, I guess, a lot of gumption to her.
Yeah, that's
probably gonna
it.
Have
like,
a lot of balls, a lot of nerve.
She knows a lot about the ships, probably knows them inside out.
Maybe. I'm sure she knows that. Everybody seems to know how to fly a ship, except Finn.
Yeah, exactly.
But everybody else seems to know how to fly a ship. So, yeah, she'll be able to pilot. I don't know how good she'll be. But, yeah, I think she'll know how to pilot one. All right, I've got a would you rather. So, would you rather remove one of humanity's great innovations or add a new one? So you could take away guns if you wanted to. Imagine. Oh, God.
You just lost us, every American viewer.
I know. Except Steven. Not you, Bradley. You can keep your gun or guns. What a terrible generalization.
Yeah, that is a terrible generalization.
I'm sorry, Bradley. If you don't own guns, that's fine by me, too. So it doesn't have to be guns. It can be anything you want to take away. The internet.
The nukes. You could take away the nukes.
Yep. You can take away the advent of nuclear power. Or you can add one. The ability, time travel, for example. Or you can invent the cure for cancer.
Now, taking one out, are you guaranteeing that no one will ever invent it?
Yeah. Otherwise, that's a deal killer right there. May as well not play the game.
See, the thing that kind of like trying to weigh into my mind right now when I'm kind of mulling it over is things like nuclear weaponry and stuff. Like, granted, like not all countries have that. So how does it affect the time continuum? Like, does everything stay exactly the same? You know, because like, the powers that be kind of use this sway, and they use their power in that sense, you know, like, so.
Oh, things would no doubt be different. Things would no doubt, but if you add one, things will no doubt be different.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to go back into the past and change things, because then, you know.
Biff's paradise.
Yeah. You sneezed wrong in the past. Who knows what's going to happen? You're going to cause a plague?
So you're saying you would add one? What would you add?
I think what would be the most benefit to like mankind? Would it be like, have you ever seen that? What's the name of that movie with Matt Damon? Where is it? Elysium?
Never saw that one.
Where they step into the machine and basically it scans for everything. Like it just fixes you up like within like a heartbeat. Like it's like, oh, cancer cell detected. And eliminated. Like, oh, your shoulder's a bit sore. There we go. So you're kind of like good as new. You probably live, if you were being constantly repaired like that, I'm sure the human body can live for like, oof, healthily probably over 100 years.
Yeah, for
so
sure.
You would bring that innovation to life?
Either that or like some kind of cure to world hunger, something like that. I don't even know where to begin. What would be the most benefit, right? I don't know. I'd like to introduce light speed. And
I was just about to say, what if you're the guy that invents the ability to travel through space? And you would be, imagine being that guy. Or girl.
That'd be pretty cool. But again, we got to be ready to take that step. You know, we got to, I pretty much firmly believe that before we start messing around with all what's out there. Like, I think we should have our own shit under control first, but you know.
When have we ever had our own shit under control?
We haven't. That's the thing. Like, what's it going to take?
A new home.
Even at that.
What say you, James?
I'm going to go and leave us with all the crap we've invented. Because who am I to, like, undo free will and all that stuff? And I'll try to add what I think is one of the more beneficial things. I don't know if cold fusion is the best way to give free power to the world, but whatever, like, whatever the freest, cheapest way to give everybody, like, energy, non-polluting power. Energy. Yeah. That's what I would give.
Like Tony Stark's arc reactor?
Yeah.
That's pretty benevolent.
That would help.
Yeah, no, I don't know what I would do.
Would you? Yeah, I don't know what. There's so many things you'd want to take away, but like, you take away a weapon or you take away a bad technology. There's other weapons. There's, you know, like, you can't take away the man's want to kill each other, and so taking away a weapon doesn't really change anything. I don't know. That's my logic on it.
Now, I mean, just consider the way wars are fought now versus, you know, 2,000 years ago. If you want to kill somebody, you had to get right up in his grill.
Or like, how can you create a machine that prevents war?
That's called a Terminator.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, see, I came up with this question a while ago, and I've just been thinking about it over and over, and I've tied myself into knots, and I don't know what I would do. That's why I hate coming up with these questions, because then I just overthink them.
I kind of got a question for you guys. I think I have an idea what you're going to say, but so would you rather? I had it back there in the show notes for a long time, but just never really had time to ask it, I guess. What would you guys prefer to be if you had the choice? Would you prefer to be a Jedi with all the powers and stuff that come with being a Jedi and being able to use the Force?
Yep.
Or any superhero or villain of your choosing?
Aw, come on. That's not fair to Jedi.
A lot of rules to being a Jedi. It's a lot of rules. A lot of
limitations.
A lot of limitation.
I mean, as cool as Jedi are compared to people, I mean, superheroes. You got some pretty fancy superheroes out there.
I mean, just it takes, like, my main prime example, I guess. You have to look at Superman, right? Like, come on. Pretty much invulnerable, strength, flying, like, lasers coming out of your eyes, like.
Hey, it's the complete package.
Yeah, it really, really is. Even brains, too. His brain, like his way of thinking, is enhanced by Earth's yellow sun.
Doesn't seem particularly brilliant.
He's pretty smart.
Was he an idiot? Would he have been an idiot if he was on Krypton?
I don't know. By the way, I think that's the marker to place it against, anyhow. It's a bit of a tough choice. There's so much cool stuff that comes with the Jedi, but yeah, I don't know. If you're a superhero anyway, I wouldn't just want one power. Like, okay, I'm Hulk and I'm super strong, but a power like maybe like Rogue, for example, like she can always try something new if she wanted, and she's got the package too.
Yeah, surprised you weren't choosing like a Mystique or a Rogue type character that can loophole their way into everybody's superpowers.
Yeah, that'd be neat.
No, I would definitely choose a superhero. And which one? That's tougher to answer. I think the ability to fly would have to be part of it.
No doubt.
What if you flying almost had the ability to fly? Must. What about having a really, really powerful and cool, like, you know, you guys had a thing, a symbiote. So you have like that kind of like Venom costume on.
Yeah. No. I could settle for just a simple Iron Man suit.
That'd be pretty awesome.
That would be so cool, man.
I think if you have like Wolverine's skill set, like you're kind of begging trouble, you know? Like it's like during the team meeting of the X-Men, you're kind of like, they're all huddling like, all right, who's going in first? Everybody's looking at each other. Then they're all looking at Wolverine. You got this, bro?
Yeah, I got the whole thing. I'll do everything again.
But not only that, it's just like they're looking at him like Human Shield. It's not like he doesn't feel the pain.
Yeah, but it'll be okay.
Yeah, I'd be totally happy with just an Iron Man suit. My commutes to work would be much easier.
Not only that, if you were part of Iron Man's package deal of being Iron Man and being a superhero is the same as Batman, Bruce Wayne, in the sense that they're both billionaires. It's part of their power.
So yeah, that comes with it. Batman also has all that emotional pain. Iron Man just seems like a playboy.
Yeah. Maybe he's just better at hiding his feelings.
But yes, I'm sorry, Star Wars. You're surpassed. Jedi are surpassed by superheroes.
So who would it be, though? Who would be, like, the guy? Or girl?
I don't know.
Superman.
Yeah, I think you just start with Superman and then try and talk yourself into somebody else who's cooler.
Mm.
But
not necessarily cooler, but more powerful.
I mean, really, the only thing that can stop you is magic if you're Superman. Or, I mean, getting the shit beat out of you for 3 hours straight from Doomsday.
What about Thanos? Thanos versus Superman, and Thanos possessing the Infinity Gauntlet. I think Thanos comes out on top.
Which version is Superman? Modern Supercharged day. In the sun, Superman?
Meh.
Well, you're giving Thanos the Infinity Gauntlet. Come on, man.
Do you ever see that? Which Superman is it? Oh, it's a really good DC animated where Superman, he basically flies too close to the sun. He's basically like right on top of the sun at one point to try and save a whole bunch of people. And so when he gets back to Earth, he realizes that like his power has kind of grown exponentially. But it also, like his being himself is like, his everything's become accelerated. So he's basically gonna die in a short period. It's like he's sick, and by the end he's getting weaker and weaker, and really, really cool. By the end, I think he becomes like pure energy. It's super interesting.
Is that Kingdom Come or is that Red Sun?
I think it's Kingdom Come. Because it's so cool because like toward the end, as he's dying and becoming like energy, he like flies into our sun to like kind of like reboot it before the Earth dies. And like, and then like there's this classic picture of him that comes straight out of the comic where it's like him inside the sun. It's like a golden age kind of like picture of comics. And he's just like, he's got like a giant sledgehammer. And it's like, it's as if he's like working on the sun and like keeping it going, you know, and Lois Lane is just on the couch like crying, saying like he's coming home and stuff. Those movies really rock, man. The DC animated universe is really kick-ass.
You know what? I don't think it's Kingdom Come. I think it's something else.
Man, I had them all taped on my PVR. I've seen that one a couple of times, too. It's interesting.
Oh, no. Red Sun was when it is a what-if story. What if Superman was actually, yeah, instead of being American, Soviet, he was Russian.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
Oh, that's bothering me now. Because Grant Morrison wrote the story you're talking about. Is it All-Star Superman?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that makes the most sense because I knew they definitely did an animated of that, so that makes the most sense, to be honest.
Yeah, I think All-Star Superman is the one that is the one where he dies.
I love those little, you know, one-offs in the DC universe where like big authors and comic book creators like take these stories in these different avenues that aren't necessarily like a part of the true timeline. Like yeah. A Killing Joke kind of stuff like that.
I love those.
Yeah. Frank Miller's Dark Knight.
They're so much easier than following an ongoing title for years.
Oh yeah. And you get this. I've been ripping through my comics, just like my comics were all stashed in my parents. Not all of them. All the stuff that I've been buying, I've been keeping, but I had a lot of stuff at my parents' place in the little like cubby in the basement. And I got it back home, and man, I'm going through some of it. It's just so fun just to look at it. Like a lot of it's, they're still in their bags and boards, and they're in good condition. But if a guy came and appraised them, they wouldn't be, you know, they'd be like good, very good, whatever. Like, they're definitely not mint. But it's just the fact that there's so many of these comics that I bought when I was literally in grade one or two, you know, and seeing them still, you know, it's just so cool to see them.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Did you buy your Comic-Con ticket for the weekend?
I was actually going to ask you the same thing. I have not yet, but it's on. It's on. My colleague wanted to go on the Friday night, and I was like, what are you, Friday night? No. Like, there's no one going to be there Friday night, really. You know, it'd be interesting, I guess, but I mean, no. We got to go. I would like to go Sunday, but Sunday's my anniversary, but Saturday.
Hey, happy anniversary, Chop Rules with a Z.
Who's that guy? Anyway, yeah, I'm going to be on the hunt big time for my R2-D2 40th anniversary. The collection's almost complete, man. I'm so close.
What's your ceiling? How much are you willing to pay for that if you find it this weekend at Montreal Comic Con?
Better not gouge.
Oh, I'm pretty going to gouge.
Well, that's
what they do.
It's all around that now, but you know, I could have got my good friend at the TSW Roundtable and TSW Comics, Rob Cass, to buy me one at his local Comic-Con.
Did you just claim Rob Cass as your good friend? As if we don't know him? James, I'm offended, aren't you?
Who are you talking about again? Rob Cass from Sudbury, Ontario?
That's correct.
Oh.
Anyhow, he's been super awesome lately, and he checked it out at his Comic-Con recently, and it was $75 there. And I said, yeah, I'll hold off. I was all optimistic, and yeah, that's my ceiling now.
$60?
$75.
Yeah. Wow.
At this point, I mean, come on. I'm too shy of really actually completing the series, except for your, and then three with your X-Wing, so why not?
I think that's going to be in and around the number that you're going to have to pay this weekend if you want it.
Yeah, if it's any more than that, I'm going to have to haggle. Maybe make a little package deal, see what the guy's got. I'm hoping it's there, though, to be honest. There's a few comics I want to get to.
Yeah, I'm still undecided if I'm going.
You got to come, man.
See, you pay money to go inside for the right to spend more money. That's the problem.
It's like Costco.
Exactly.
Fuck, I like Costco.
I like it, but I hate it.
Depends when you go.
Not even that. It's I'm going to pick up three things at Costco, and you come out with 40 things, and you're $200 in the hole.
Costco, where you go broke saving money.
Yep. But look at this. We don't have to come back for 7 months. I have so much stuff. You go back 2 months later and do the same thing again.
So awesome, though. They have so much food to sample there, too. Don't mind if I do.
All right, I've got another Would You Rather, and I think this one's from Bradley. He sent this one to us, or whoever it was that sent this. I believe it was Bradley. I didn't write down who it was. Maybe we even talked about it, so stop me if we did. Would you rather know when you're going to die or how you're going to die?
We did talk about this already, no?
We did it, did we?
Yeah.
Well, not from Bradley. We did this like on a very, very early episode.
Oh, dude, it seems recent to me.
No, that's possible too. I'm old now.
Very recent.
Now that I'm talking about it, I feel like we've done it. But James, feel free to edit this part out.
All right, fair enough. I got something
for the record, just in case it stays in the cut.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, you're asking for the record? I thought you were going to about to announce for the record. If it does stay in the cut, for the record, I would rather know how.
Agree. If you knew when, you would just be counting down the days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But then on the other side, you would know what to do with those days. You wouldn't waste time.
That's true, too. That wouldn't be fun waiting. I have 2 days left, man.
All right. Yeah. Do we have anything? I have something else, but it might take us a while to hash out. So if we've got any other would you rathers or other assorted randomness, we'll do that first.
I had a couple of quick questions that I could ask. This one here seemed funny when I wrote it down. If animals could talk, which one would be the rudest? But I don't know. Looking at it now.
I think squirrels would be pretty rude.
It's funny. I had squirrels on my list too. But we'll skip the rude animal question and we'll come to, because I think this one is short enough and interesting enough that people will have an opinion. So if you had to name yourself and you can't choose your own name, what would you name yourself? Like, you can't be Kyle, and you can't be Corey, and I can't be James.
I was always partial to Clark.
Clark?
Yeah.
I could see you as a Clark.
Yeah, Clark or...
Keep your initials.
Yeah. I liked like Parker as well.
Yeah, and then you get a little Spider-Man homage in your name, which is nice.
I've never thought about that.
It's hard to think of yourself going by another name and having to sort of accept that.
Kylo.
Loophole. I think I would choose Edward. It's my dad's name. It's what I was supposed to be named.
Yeah, you'd be junior.
I don't know if I ever told you. I was supposed to be Edward like the 9th or 11th or something. My dad and his dad and his dad, a whole bunch in a row. And then my mom was like, I don't really like that name. So
I married you, but I don't like your name.
Eddie's out.
Eddie's out.
So your mom derailed like a long-standing O'Flaherty family tradition.
That's correct.
How is she perceived on your dad's side of the family?
My grandmother did not like my mother. My grandmother actually had to be they had to call the police and have her removed from the wedding.
No.
Yeah. She showed up. She liked the bottle a lot, even back then. And she showed up like wasted halfway through, like just yelling obscenities. On my parents' first date, my grandmother reported the car stolen and my dad got pulled over. But the cops like sort of knew my grandmother and were like, your mom called. She wants you home.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, that's terrible, but it's funny for me to laugh.
It's funny for me too. Like, I'm sure it wasn't funny for my mom, but my mom's a Protestant. And my grandma, like, she used to work at, Catholic schools, but like that were run by nuns, and she used to like correct and admonish the nuns for wearing their habits wrong and stuff. Like, she was old school by the book. Holy, she wasn't a nun herself, but she was like,
yeah. So this is Point St. Charles.
She was a point lady. Yeah.
Oh my God. Say no more.
Yep. our nanny is from the Point as well.
Yeah.
We,
there you go.
We know.
Well, our grandmother was not like that. But
It was all Irish, though.
Lots.
You know, I get how hardcore and possibly violent she would have been. And the bottle part doesn't surprise me at all.
No, yeah.
that just comes with the territory.
It did in my family,
that sucks,
for sure.
At a wedding, man.
Oh, yeah, my parents' wedding.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so there you go.
All right, well, a question here from the gift that keeps on giving. Ads tacked on a question last week with his actually, you know what? It was 2 weeks ago, but he'd asked us to save this for this, our next edition of Sith Disturbers. So
I remember that, yeah.
So from ads, I've often, whilst watching The Walking Dead, assessed what I'd do tactics-wise if it happened in real life. Where I try and go, how, etc. So what do you each do in your own personal circumstances? Who survives the longest out of the three of you?
All right. I'll go first, because mine's going to sound like a loophole, but it's not a loophole. It's really what because I think all of us have probably spent some time like imagining this scenario, right? What would you do in the zombie apocalypse scenario? Like, I don't know. I certainly have before this question. And I've decided that my best strategy for survival, which has already been put into, like, has been implemented, at least in part, is to know who the craziest survivalist is around here, or where, or who a few of them are, and be friends with them. Because the way I figure it is, I'm not nearly paranoid or crazy enough to do the kind of preparations that would make me sort of the alpha in this area. And it would all come down to, like, you know, survival of the fittest. So I need to be on the team of the guys with the most ammunition and the biggest bunker. And so that's what I would do. I'd be like I basically have also made everyone aware that if shit hit the proverbial fan, I could feed, a small amount of people given access to gardening. So, like, that'd be my usefulness. If necessary, like, I'd run the greenhouse and I would let somebody else do the monitoring of the perimeter, because I don't think that I could on my own survive a zombie apocalypse. So I'm buddying up.
Yeah, nobody could. Unless you lived on an isolated farm, you have to be in a group.
Yeah, that's true.
You must be in a group. Our entire species is what it is because we coalesced into groups.
Correct.
Corey, what do you do?
I've thought about it before. You know, again, just kind of like James said, you got to kind of band together with another kind of group. Be somewhat prepared, at least for, you know, have maybe a month's worth of preparation. So at least you have that. And I think the most logical step, really, depending on, you know, hopefully you have like some kind of radio transmission still going on, so you can somewhat keep informed as to what's going on, and just keep.
Well, in the Walking Dead world, there was none. It was over.
Really, eh?
Like, shit hit the fan, and like one day the world was on, and it within a week it was gone.
But if you had, as long as you had some kind of, well, it's true. I don't know, how would you get electricity? Do they have electricity in the Walking Dead?
I think early on some places still had it, but no. We assume you have nothing. Your house is just a house.
Well, I mean, you could be running on gas generators for a certain amount of time, propane, correct, blah, blah, blah. Depends how long the apocalypse is.
But I mean, like, once you realize, like, shit's going down, everybody runs to the gas pumps, loots the grocery stores, drains the gas station, and chaos ensues immediately at each of these places.
Well, I think your best bet is to really, again, band together and find a high resource area and just kind of make your best go of it, really. Like, you wouldn't have a choice at that point. Yeah, I think we'd have to go north a bit, maybe. You know, there'd be a bit shorter summers and stuff, but can't see zombies wanting to follow us into that kind of bitter climate.
Well, I've always wanted them to do a Walking Dead spinoff, but set in a northern climate, just to see how those people do.
That's poor zombies. That's not fair.
And I always figured, like, you know what I would do? I'd wait to, you know, in the wintertime, I would sort of lure a herd of zombies out onto the ice. And I'd have, like, instead of little ice fishing spots, I would have, like, dynamite. And I would just, like, dynamite a whole, have a big wide circle of dynamite, get all the zombies in that circle, and then just blow it all to hell. Sink them all. Even though that doesn't kill them.
Really?
No, they can, it's ridiculous, but they can hang out underwater forever.
Great.
Yeah, I don't know. See, the thing is, you have to have this all kind of figured out before it happens, right? Like, unless you can prove your worth somehow, like, or I guess, you have to find somebody who thinks the same way that you do, that you need to be in a group, because so many people would be mistrusting of everybody around them. Ah, you just want what I have, or you're just trying to, you know, steal my resources. So you'd have to find people that are trusting enough to band with you.
Yep.
Yeah, it's scary, man. I read something once that I think it's within, it can be even as little as 36, but it's definitely within 36, 72 hours without food or water, your neighbor becomes food in your eyes.
I do live next to General Akbar.
See, James, I think you're in a good spot because you have a pretty big garden. You can at least get by for a little bit if you had to. And you have that little creek. I don't know if that's drinkable water from your creek.
It is. And I do have a cold room packed with, like, at least, I guess if we had to, we could probably live off what's in there for at least a couple of weeks anyway. And I got a generator. I could, as long as the zombies weren't, like,
swarming your house?
Swarming my house, exactly. I'd be okay for a while.
Well, it also depends on what the government would do, right? They might just, like, herd everybody out of these communities and just put everybody in camps. So they're easier to napalm at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man. I wouldn't want to go to those big people farms. Even though they would tell you that, oh, this is where you're safest. I don't think so.
It's a sort of fun, scary thing to think about. Fun because, you know, specifically the zombie thing will never happen. But scary because, like, some sort of crisis requiring you to survive on your own certainly could happen.
Well, I think they have these sort of, like, governments have these kind of, like, preparation things, and they sort of frame them around like a zombie apocalypse type thing, even though that's not the thing that would force it into action.
Yeah, they do use that as their, because it's like the worst case, like the what if of what all what ifs, you know? Why not? If you have a plan for that, then you have a plan for everything.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, my wife and I used to talk about it all the time. What would we do? Where would we go? Because, I mean, I would assume your communication to the outside world is cut off. Like, you don't have time to phone up your folks and be like, no, I'll meet you there. Or, you know, try and make your way there. We'll wait 3 days for you to get there. Just because you can assume just the traffic chaos.
No, you need to have that plan already in place.
Yeah, you'd have to have that place already figured out. And you'd all have to be on the same page that, yep, this is the sign. It's over. So we're going to sit here for, now this is the agreed upon spot. We're going, let's go. And we'll wait there for 3 days for, you know, your parents, your siblings, your whatever. That's tough, man. Like, imagine you were at work and shit goes down and your kids are.
No, I hate thinking about that.
Oh yeah, I don't even want to think about that shit.
Seriously. That's crazy.
I'm always at home when the shit goes down. That's it. I'm at home.
The shit can't
go down unless I'm at home.
That is the most terrifying part.
Especially because I live over a bridge. I'm always worried the bridge will be out, and then how the hell am I going to get home?
Yeah, I mean, I have to. I'm a bridge away.
Those damn zombies take out the bridge. I'm going to be pissed.
But you can imagine bridges being shut down just for that type of control. And then, God, who's, I think Corey dies first.
Fuck that. I'll eat all your faces, fuck.
I don't know that you would.
Sorry, Corey would be driving over people and would be like, good job getting those zombies. He'd be like, zombies?
No, Corey would just load up the boat with water and just jump out on the boat and say, oh, we'll just sit out here.
What if I become a zombie and then get both you? Technically, do I survive the longest?
No.
No loopholes.
Now you cease being you once you become a zombie.
The boat could be an asset. Could get onto a pretty remote island or something, but definitely got to be prepared for that.
You would definitely be a zombie with a Z, Corey.
Z for zombie.
Yeah, you could shoot out to an island, uninhabited island, but I think you would have company real fast.
Just don't make any fires. They'll never know you're there.
Well, it might be a good idea, though. Listen, guys, we're all on this island. We're all looking for the same thing. Let's figure this shit out together. And the first person who tries to pull a fast one, well, that person's just got to, he's got to go.
Yeah, you eat him first.
Yeah, you gotta point a sharp stick through the eye. And then you can roast the rest over an open fire. Man, it's been a while since I've watched Walking Dead. I still never finished season 7, I think, just finished up a few months ago. I know Corey never watched any of it. And James, you're like, what, season 3 or 4?
What's that?
Well, just like, what is the... Which place in The Walking Dead would you want to, like, be a part of?
I don't know. I've never really watched it all that much, to be honest.
James, do you remember any of it?
I do. And like I keep saying I'm going to get back into it, but then... I don't know. There's always a trail of stuff to do. So like, yeah, I don't know if I could easily pick an affiliation. But do you have one? Is that why you're asking? Are you like, do you know what you would do?
Like I think of all the places that we've seen, I think clearly Herschel's farm would be the place that that's where I'd like. I think that's probably the best place where I'd like to be, because trouble only found them once Rick and his gang showed up.
Yeah.
Which is the case everywhere. Rick and his gang they bring trouble everywhere with them. But there's Woodbury, which seemed like a bit of a great place until, again, Rick showed up. The jail.
So basically anywhere Rick's not is where you want to be.
Yeah, so many places seem to be doing just fine until Rick showed up. I mean, look at Alexandria Safe Zone. That place was like heaven. They had running water. They had electricity because they had some smart people who figured out how to set up the solar panels. Man, I don't know. Let's just hope it never comes to that, because that would be really shitty. There'd be no more Star Wars.
No, zombies wouldn't mess with Star Wars. Don't worry.
We imagine all these pockets of fandom would just go off and, for entertainment, make their own Star Wars. At their little zombie camps. Then people would be doing like expanded universe shit all over the place. Ugh. All right. Well, I think we're at the end, unless anybody's got anything else.
That's it for me, man.
Oh, I think we covered most of the bases.
We didn't talk any Star Wars at all, really.
We sort of did. We mentioned the word Star Wars at least a couple of times. And I think Corey probably paid a $2 fee in there that we missed.
Probably. Yeah. Let's just say it's at $18 now. All right. That's it. Thanks, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this rambly, random edition of Sith Disturbers. I can never say that cleanly. Enjoy your weekends. And What else should we say in their sign off here, guys?
Watch more Star Wars.
It's a good way to spend the weekend.
Enjoy your summer.
Well, we're not going away for the summer.
We're not signing a yearbook, Corey.
It's just kind of starting for us.
I would suggest you go check out StarWarsCommonwealth.com. Once again, if you've not done that already.
Leaving his 5-star review sounds like a lot of fun.
That sounds like an awful lot of fun. I would do that if I could. What else could people do this weekend? Oh, they can send us questions for Tumbling Saber episode 83. I know many people have already done that. Thank you very much, Bradley and Jeffrey and Matt and Carlos. I know Ads is going to have something great for us too. But anybody else, if you want to send questions in for the next episode, definitely got some room for you. It's been a lean week in Star Wars news, that's for sure. But otherwise, I hope you enjoyed whatever this was. And we will we'll see you later.
Thank you for listening to the Sith Disturbers podcast, brought to you by the Warped Minds at the Tumbling Saber, proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Network. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
Hey, Corey. Why did the Clydesdale give the pony a drink of water?
I don't know.
Because he was a little horse.